at night. Many a moon come and shine a light. Taking her clothes off, it break my mind. Taking her clothes off, gon' take off mine. Want so bad, it's like I'm out of time.
Hello, cocktail lovers. Welcome to Paris Cocktail Talk, the show brought to you by the 52 Martinis Guide to Paris Cocktail Bars. I'm Forrest Collins, and I'm here to talk to you about the trends and traditions of drinking in France. And I am really looking forward to talking to our guest today. You might recall last month we talked to the organizers of Whiskey Live, which is a huge spirits fair salon that happens here in Paris. In my opinion, it's one of the biggest and best ones to attend in Europe. And it's not just whiskey, but we'll get into that later. But so we talked to the organizers, and today I have got somebody from the other side. This is somebody that's coming in to attend the salon. I met my guest Martine when I was at the show this year. I met her through Tanisha Townsend. And if you are regular listeners, you already know Tanisha because she's been a guest on the show before. And you see us sometimes running around on my social media because we like to bar hop and wine taste together. So check her out as well if you haven't already and you're not familiar with her. Okay, let's crack right into this episode because I can't wait to hear what Martine thinks about this year's Whiskey Live. So Martine, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Forrest. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm very happy too. So now, just tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself so they kind of have an idea of who we're talking to.
Yes. Hello, I'm Martine. I'm from New York City, Queens specifically, and I'm very obnoxious as every Queens person is about it. It's the best place in the world. It's the best food place in the world. But I do end up going to Paris every year for Whiskey Live Paris. I'm a big whiskey fan, super fan, you would say. I've been drinking it for years. Actually, I started being serious about whiskey in 2008. And the reason I know that is because it was my New Year's resolution. I said, I'm going to learn more about whiskey and I'm going to try new whiskeys every time I have the opportunity. And it is the New Year's resolution that I've kept the longest because I just renew it every year. I don't make any others because I'm really good at this one. And I collect whiskeys. I make cocktails. I'm a flavor person. So I chase flavors in all things, in food and drink. And whiskey just gives me the opportunity to do that. So that's me.
That sounds like an awesome you. So I'm very glad we got to know each other. And I like these achievable New Year's Eve resolutions. I try to do fun ones every year as well. Like I'll try to go to all the free museums in Paris or, you know, things that are a lot easier than, okay, let's lose 50 pounds because, you know, that one's always harder. So so achievable New Year's resolutions. I like those. So how long have you been coming over to France for Whiskey Live?
2016 was my first year, and okay. I ended up finding out about it randomly and then sort of spur of the moment deciding to go. And I have been there every year since, except for 2020 when there wasn't one.
Right. There wasn't one with COVID. Are there other, do you go to other whiskey kind of salons of the same level, like these kind of big trade fairs or professional shows?
I go to some of the ones in New York, but the reason I go to Paris, and I am a big evangelist, let's use the religious term, because, you know, whiskey is religion, about it, is that it feels like a nerd conference, right? Like, everybody is just so passionate about whiskeys, and, you know, the rum folks also show up, and you just kind of get to nerd out about it. And other ones that I've been to, especially on this side of the pond, just seems less nerdy. So I do go to some local ones. I've been wanting to go to a London one, but I still haven't made it out to that. I have gone to Whiskey Week in Italy 1 year, which was a much, much, much smaller affair, but was also quite fun. So yeah, no, Whiskey Live is kind of like my one big convention, if you will, a year when it comes to whiskey. And then I do go to small tastings. So there are sort of local people who do like really small, well-curated tastings around. So I'll attend those.
Well, I think that you have picked a good one to attend because I am a big fan of Whiskey Live. And just for listeners who haven't attended, It is a huge selection of whiskey, but there is also rum and gin and some other spirits as well. So little bit of something for everyone. Now, what did you think of this year's? Because this was the 20th anniversary. Did it seem bigger or better than previous years? Have you seen any kind of like evolution since you've been coming since 2016?
Yeah, it's totally evolved. I mean, when I was coming in 2016, it was the last days when it was at the other location at the Cité de la Mode, which was fun because it was right on the river. And when they first moved it, I was like, oh no, sad seas. But this actually creates more space. What I would say this year, and one of my friends who also attends every year and I were talking about it, like it felt like there was more people. And the fun thing about the venue now is that it's so big that even though you could tell there was a lot of people, it never really felt like there was a lot of people. And this year just kind of felt like more and more people are getting on the whiskey live stream. I guess all of us talking about it, they're like, hey, we want to play too. I think in terms of how it's changed, it kind of varies. I think there are years where there's some truly exceptional drams that kind of drop in. And then there are years where it feels just like a fun, gathering and party. It's the fun thing about it is just, going around being people being like, hey, you were here last year. It feels like we're catching up, and all of those things. So the thing that I love about the Salon is I get to try new things. And my big thing for whiskeys is I love whiskeys from independent bottlers because I just think there's a lot of creativity and just unknown things in that venue. And, the continual New Year's resolution of trying new whiskeys, I feel like that's the best place to do it. So there's always something to find, but there are years they are true. What is the French saying, coup de cœur?
Yes, exactly.
And then there are other years where it's like, yo, I had a good time, but like there is nothing that's like, I'm dying. Like there's a bottle from 2016 that I still kick myself for not getting, right? Like, but that
Oh.
doesn't happen every year.
Yeah. Well, and I guess it's sort of the luck of the draw, like who decides that they're going to come and participate in any given year. So, very interesting. Now, do you want to was there any particular coup de cœur that you found this year? Anything that like was a really cool discovery that you want to share with the listeners?
So I hadn't had any, and I don't know how I missed it. The thing about independent bottlers, I feel like there's a bunch of them that are out there and they've been out there for a really long time, but they're independent bottlers and they're in very specific markets. So you kind of have to just stumble upon one. And once you do, you start seeing it everywhere. Like before, it's like it never existed. And then you see it once and it's like now everybody has it. The decadent drinks table, like I think I sat there for like, well, sat, stood for like 30 minutes and just went down the line of all the things they had. So not really, I mean, yes, they had favorites from that table, but just as a sort of from one producer, for lack of a better word, or bottler, I really enjoyed what they did and how they played with the whiskey. So those guys, I immediately was just like, yeah, so you all are my BFFs. Like we don't have to actually call each other and talk about our problems, but just so you know, we're whiskey BFFs now. And that's just, it's been declared and that's what it is. And I expect you to bring me great things every year. Please and thank you.
Excellent. I will put a link, listeners. I'll put a link to that in the show notes so you can also explore that. Did you do any of the master classes? Because I think this year was the first year they had master classes. Now, I didn't do any, so no judgment if you didn't, but I'm just curious if you did more than just taste.
I feel like they haven't they had them before, or did they call them something else? They've always had classes and
Yeah.
workshops.
I thought they had too, but when I was talking to somebody from Whiskey Live, I thought they said this was the first year, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Did you
Well,
do any of the
yeah.
classes?
So time blindness is a thing that happens to me at Whiskey Live. So I have never made it into anything that's scheduled. Even
Good.
sometimes I will know, Gordon McPhail does this thing where they have their fun bottles, like the 30 years or whatever. And they're like, at 3 o'clock, we're gonna open these two. At 4 o'clock, unless I happen to be in the vicinity or somebody grabs me, I don't know what time it is. Once I enter the salon, I have no idea what time it is until I like leave Cocktail Street at the end of the night. So no, I missed all the workshops and the master classes. I would love to see them. I actually love that kind of stuff. But I would probably need to put it on my actual calendar with alarms in order for me
For
to make
sure.
it.
That's why I don't do them as well, because you get in there and then you get sidetracked and you never know how long it's going to take to taste at any particular stand. So, it's tough to stay on a schedule. I'm with you on alarms. And when you come back next year, maybe we'll have a little chit chat. Maybe we'll try to get into, maybe we'll try to motivate each other to do one of the really good classes. So,
Let's do that. Oh, look it up in advance. Like, I actually always get my Whiskey Life to get, they do the Christmas offer every year in December, and that's usually when I get my Whiskey Life tickets. So I don't look at the website again till ever. So I feel like I need to go, like maybe like a couple of weeks before or whatever, just like look up and be like, what are the workshops? What are the master classes being shown? Which one looks interesting? Because I did say I didn't go to other whiskey events, but I do go to Bar Convent Brooklyn, which is not a, it's just industry specific, not necessarily a whiskey specific event. And there I've sort of made a point of going to the classes because it gives you that behind the scenes of just like full product. It's almost like if you took a distillery tour without taking a distillery tour. And then there are workshops around the business of it, which, my super nerd self needs to know all of the things. So there I actually will go to stuff, but that one, because it's so broad in terms of the spirits you can taste, and it tends to be the main offerings rather than like super special stuff, that it feels like it doesn't feel like I'm missing something by going to sit in a room that there's something that I'm not going to have a chance to taste, right? Like everything there, it's like, oh, it's fun, we're having a good time, and you get some, background product knowledge, but it's all stuff that's readily available in the market versus Whiskey Live, where it's like, oh, this independent bottler has this one bottle that you can find in this one little shop in this one little city, and that's it.
Exactly. Yeah, I do think it's good to take advantage of the hard to access when you can.
So yes,
Now,
let's do that next year. We're going
next year,
to at
okay.
least one. We're not going to,
Exactly. We'll pull
achievable
Tanisha.
goals.
Tanisha doesn't know this yet, but in case she's listening, we'll pull her in with this too. She'll go do some learning with this as well.
Yes, done.
Okay, it's a plan. Now, I believe, did you go all 3 days of Whiskey Live this
Yes.
year? Okay,
I always go all 3 days.
just so listeners know, it runs for 3 days. The first 2 days are open to the public. The last day is for professionals. That is a lot of whiskey tasting. So, give me a little idea of like, how much time do you spend per day there? And what's your plan of attack when you go in? Do you go like, okay, I'm going to do all, whiskey from a particular region? Like, what's your approach? Because it's a lot to handle.
It's a lot to handle. I cannot stress enough how much hydration will save your life and eating. The food stands they have on Cocktail Street are well curated. I have to say, it's the exact things you need when you're going to taste a ton of whiskeys. So I have a sort of, I don't go by region, I go by kind of section, if you will, of the salon. So whiskey is my priority. Scotch specifically is my priority. So while I will, on the first day, and I always get the VIP ticket for the open to the public part. So we get in an hour earlier than everybody else. So you have a chance to kind of run around downstairs if you want to. But normally I skip downstairs. There's a couple of producers that I've become friends with over the years. So I will stop in and say hi and maybe get my like opening dram, as I like to call it, just a little something to carry you over. And then I, like day one Saturday, I head straight upstairs to VIP, and then I will do a quick loop just to see like who's all here this year. Again, I should look at the website, but and they have a map, but I don't do that. I'm a visual person. I need to see the bottles. I need to see who's all there. And then I'm going to hit the Scotch stuff from the independent bottlers. And it kind of depends like who catches my eye first and how crowded it is. So first round is Scotch from independent bottlers. I have my faves. Gordon McPhail always hits. Single Malts of Scotland will have some fun stuff from year to end. The Spirit Shop, it changes who's all up there, so I do all of those. And then I might dip downstairs a time, for sometimes you'll hear, right? So there are the things that happen where some brand will have stuff in VIP, and then they have some, there's always like an under the table bottle downstairs. So if they know you, and there's one particular every year, he'll catch me. He's like, you haven't come to see us. Yes, I have stuff. And I was like, my bad, we'll be right there. So I might dip down. So the first day, I'm really just upstairs. The second day will be probably a balance. The third day, which is an industry day, to me is leisurely day because all of the stands are there for like it's work. It's a real work day for them. The first 2 days, I feel like they're just trying to get the public, to know their
For
brand.
sure, yeah.
And then the Monday is like we're at work. We're trying to get, on shelves. We're trying to get whatever they're trying, so So for me, it's kind of fun because I just get to kind of chill. Like it feels less frenzied, right? Because I've tried all the things that I wanted to try at this point. So Monday is what did I miss, right? Is there a new producer downstairs? Oh, they're doing sake now. Let me go see what sake is doing. Oh, wait, there's this one like whiskey brand that I don't know. They're smaller, they're smaller distillery. Let me go see what's happening there. Oh, these guys have a new thing. Let me do that. That's kind of, the way I do it. So the first date is like really just get all the things in the VIP space that makes sense from a Scotch perspective. Oh, I'll also go visit rum. Like end of day two and day three is when I'll do rum. And this year I actually didn't get to a lot of the rums. And a friend had like been like, "Hey, go see my friends at Diplomatico." And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And then I totally forgot because rum is, I'm sorry for all the rum drinkers. I don't dislike rum. I just can't have more than one spirit as a obsession.
Yeah, it's true. It's hard to focus on everything. I mean, yeah, for sure. But I do like rum, and I didn't even make it upstairs
And
to the
it felt
rum
bigger this
area.
year, the rum
Yeah,
section.
I
It
know
was
there
bigger
was.
this year, and I didn't even walk through.
No.
I made it to the Cléa section, for which is part of like the Haitian rum, but and I only did that because one of the guys downstairs, Adam from Sonoma County, was just like, "Oh yeah, I don't know if I know Cléa." I was like, "No, that's impossible. Like you have to." So I literally went upstairs to get him glasses and just like here, because
Here,
I was
you've
like,
got to try this. It is, it's
you.
pretty fabulous, actually. The nose on it always is so great to me. Yeah, it makes my mouth water when I smell it.
Right, it's so
But
fun.
yeah.
It and it's like luscious. Like it's just like deep, luscious. You just kind of want to hang out. It makes great cocktails too, frankly. So yeah, I also always end on cocktail street. I learned kind of the hard way that trying to go to anything once you leave Whiskey Live is an exercise for the young. Like I'm always like, "Oh yes, sure, I'll go to the bar with you." And then you go to the bar and I'll have one drink and I'm like, "I need to go home right
Done.
now because I have to get up tomorrow and do this all over again." So
Exactly.
cocktail street tends to be, I like to end the night there. It's always a good time. By the time everybody spills into cocktail street, it's party time. It's fun. You get to, that's more like mainline for all the brands, but you also get to try some really fun stuff from local bartenders and bars that maybe you don't get a chance to. It's kind of like a super concentrated bar crawl, if you will.
Exactly. You've got a lot of the great bars from Paris all in one place, great
Exactly.
bartenders. And for the listeners who haven't been, what's nice about Cocktail Street is you could go, even if you weren't going into Whiskey Live, you could also just go in and make a visit to Cocktail Street. So it's just, a large collection of great bars doing special drinks. And yeah, exactly like Martine said, it's like a very concentrated cocktail crawl. And it's good fun. It's good music. It's more relaxed. You can sit down, have a whole cocktail as opposed to little tastes. So it's a
Yeah.
good way to get a flavor of what the Paris bar scene is like, I think. So,
Again, hydrate. And I do love that they
oh, for
have some
sure.
non-alcoholic stands, because it just gives you a chance to still have like fun with flavor while getting something that is not just straight alcohol into your system. Like
For
my
sure.
freshman year psych professor said, everything in moderation, including moderation.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, and I agree. I mean, we're seeing such, I'm sure it's the same in New York and everywhere. We're seeing this trend towards low ABV and non-alcoholic cocktails. So there's a lot of options for that. And like my friend Jesus with London Essence was there, and they've got some great flavors on their non-alcoholic mixers. And yeah, it's just it's a nice, robust offering with a little something for everybody, I think.
I like it for cocktail options for me because I love cocktails, but really I like making them more than I like drinking them. After two, I'm like, "Okay, can I go back to whiskey now?" So if I can have like lower ABV cocktails, it leaves me space for more whiskey.
Good planning, smart planning. I like that.
Look, okay, there's a
Yeah.
finite amount of whiskey that I can have in one sitting, so you have to plan like very specifically how that's gonna work out,
Yeah. I know. Well,
especially
it's
at a
true.
summer.
Yeah. I mean, when you've got 3 days back to back, you have to be strategic about it, honestly. You can't just like go in guns blazing, taste whatever you see. You do have to be a little,
You will
which it sounds
die.
like you are. Yeah.
Yeah, you will die if you go guns blazing. And I think that's the thing that I like about the salon. I feel like everybody kind of respects the spirit, if you will. It's not about going there and getting drunk. I mean, incidentally, that will likely happen because there's a lot of whiskey that you're trying, but it's not the goal. versus some of the salons that I've been to on this side in New York, especially, it feels like people are like, I paid this much money, I have to get the value for my money, so I'm going to drink as much as possible. And it's like, no, that's kind of not the point. Like, the point is to try as much as possible because you want to taste it. It's not a drinking activity. It's a tasting activity. And that's something that's, I don't know. It's fun.
Yeah. And I think that's nice. I think that kind of reflects the professionalism and the sincere interest in the people that attend at Whiskey Live, because there are other spirits and wine salons that I attend that, you know, I do not regularly see everybody hammered at Whiskey Live, but there's been, I will not name which one, but a rum fest, and not in Paris, where, you know, it really just turns into a big crazy party and everybody's off their faces. And a few wine shows too. I've seen people.
There is a time, there is a place. The thing that I love about Whiskey Live that is not the essence of it. That is not, and you know, and Cocktail Street turns into party time. All right, like it's not like it's this like stuffy, we're all like too cool for school type of folks. But I just think it's done in a way that's really about passion, and you can feel that energy like throughout the room. And I love that. And, you know, and there's people at various like levels. Like I fly in from New York every year. Last year, and he was there this year too. I met this kid. And I'm going to say this kid because he's in his early 20s, like college student. And he flies in for Whiskey Live from the West Coast, from California.
That's crazy.
And I was just like, I'm sorry. When I was your age, I was still taking shots of Jameson. And no, like I'm not maligning Jameson, okay? Look, we had a lot of fun in my 20s. But you out here flying to Paris to do a nerd whiskey tasting. Like, what? And he was here this year too. And he's very like methodical about it, like has his game plan, usually comes in for like 2 days. And I love that. I love that this salon just attracts like these type of people who are just like, hey, that is the pinnacle of like whiskey tasting events. I know what I'm going to get there, and it's worth me like flying in for 3 days from the West Coast, which is not, I mean, I fly from New York, that's not a big deal for me, but like from the West Coast, that's not a short trip to come in for like 3 days.
No, but I feel like that kind of reflects like, you know, everything that I read about sort of the younger generation. I'm obviously not in my 20s anymore. Really, there's this tendency for drinking less but better, which, you know, every generation below me, we've always said that, you know, but was it the case? I don't know. But I really do think there's been a real reduction in drinking and you know, the kind of the youngest drinking generation looking for better quality. So,
yeah.
So it's nice to see that.
I would say that whiskey is the drink better, not more spirit, because it just lends itself to that. Like, you know, you have a dram and you sit with it for a bit and you contemplate and you talk too much, right? Like there is something about whiskey that lends itself to not like overconsumption. I'm one of those people that has always loved alcohol, but it's because I like flavor, but I always hated the like, oh, now I'm drunk aspect.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do I separate that? Is there like, why haven't we come up with a pill that like deletes the drunk part? Because I just want the tasting and the flavor part.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, you know, there's a huge rise in non-alcoholic spirits, but they just don't have the same alcohol. Its properties, its scientific properties carry flavor in a certain way. So
they don't have the mouthfeel, right?
Yeah.
There's no texture. And it's not everything. Like some of them work. I've had a couple of kind of takes on Amaros that are quite nice. But when they try to do the straight spirits, I haven't found many, and I haven't tried a lot. I mean, I'm sort of slowly going through them, right? But most of them, to me, it's a texture and a mouthfeel, and the flavors sometimes land a little flat. I think it's just a really hard thing to do well. And everybody's doing it now. So I think this is like the first round, right? So I think as it evolves, I think they're going to get better. And yeah. I'm kind of excited to see what happens in that market, because it's a good option, because I have friends who don't drink as well. But you know, like I have a circle of bar people. Not all of them are drinkers, if that makes sense. Like I have a friend who will absolutely go to all the bars with me, but she doesn't drink.
Yeah. I'll be interviewing somebody in a couple of months who her Instagram tag is Sober Girl in Paris. It's somebody I've known for a long time. And she stopped drinking last year. And we're going to be talking about that. But we just went and did a bar visit, and we're looking to do some more bar visits together, because for me, it's really interesting to go whether or not people are drinking alcohol, and also get their take on what the non-alcoholic, I mean, I can obviously taste it as well, but to get
Right.
somebody's take who's not drinking alcohol. So yeah, I think that it's good to see. I mean, I don't usually go for the non-alcoholic ones, but it's good to see that progression
Neither
in the
do I.
market.
I like to know what they taste like. Again, I always like to know what everything tastes like. I don't necessarily go for it, but I think having that option is great. I also think, to your point about the younger generations and sort of how they view drinking versus how, frankly, we grew up drinking. I think there's less of a push of like you have to drink. And I don't, so I thought it was like an age thing, right? Like it was like you get to a certain age and it's like, I'm like in your 20s, if there's one friend who wasn't drinking, you're like, yeah, whatever, here's a shot. And then like you get to the other side of 30 when hangovers are not fun and you're just like, oh, you're not drinking, bet, that's fine, here's a whatever. But I think it what was initially kind of like, oh, you get to a certain age and you stop doing that, has turned into a cultural shift, I think, around drinking and how accepting we are of people who are in these same social circles that like don't drink and don't need to. And for me, bars, and I always say like the way you get to know people in culture is over a drink or at a table. So keeping bars as like our third spaces kind of is important. So having a space for people who are not drinking, I think, is really important too.
For sure. I mean, I think that's something I'm going to talk to Romy about when she comes onto the show, is like, it's time to normalize not drinking. You know, it's there's we don't need a stigma around it. That's just kind of crazy. So, okay, and I keep wanting to talk, but we're getting beyond time. So, I'm going to have to wrap up, and I'm going to ask you to share your cocktail of the month with our listeners.
Okay, cocktail of the month. I do variations of this depending on what's in season, but like we're gonna do it based on the mood right now. So I like a whiskey sour, a dry whiskey sour because I like my cocktails either bitter, dry, or spirit forward. So my dry whiskey sour involves passion fruit because why don't we make it fun? And Ardbeg wheat base. Do you want the specs or you just want to know what's in it?
Yeah, I want the specs because that way people can make it at home should they wish.
Okay. All right, so I don't have a name for this, but we'll just call it like, I don't know, a smoky passion. Ooh, nice,
Oh,
off
nice.
the
You're
dome.
good.
Sorry, I impressed myself there. Okay, we're gonna do 1.5 ounce of Ardbeg Wee Beastie, 1/2 ounce of Dolan Dry Vermouth, 1/2 ounce of simple syrup, 1/2 ounce of lemon juice, and 1/2 ounce of passion fruit juice. And egg whites. If you don't do the egg white, you can do the fake foamers. I like the Ms. Better Bitters Miraculous Foamer if you're vegan or you're just lazy, because most of the time I use it because I'm just lazy. And like shake, dry shake first, then with ice, and then serve that in a coupe. Lovely. It's delicious. The a
Perfect.
really good version too, because you can change out the fruit. So if you have like in the spring when the berries come out, you can do like muddled fruit with that. You're welcome. Just swap
Thank
that out for
you.
the passion fruit. Yep.
I like it. I will write up that in the show notes for listeners because I expect
Sure.
them all to get out there and make this beautiful cocktail. All right. I have to wrap up because I'm literally at time now. So, Martine, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today. This was really fun.
No problem. Thank you very much. It was great talking to you. Let's do this again.
We will. All right. And listeners, I'll put, like I said, links in the show notes to the things we talked about. In the meantime, if you like what we're doing, please go leave a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, because I guess that makes it easier for other people to find it. That's what they say. But it also makes me know that I'm not just talking to nobody and that there's somebody out there listening. So I'm going to wrap that up for now, and I will say, please drink responsibly. And until the next time, cheers. In the river, darling, oh my, you start to shiver.